Started last week, Lord willing, Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 6 to 8. We're looking at a look at the function gifts of ministry, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's gifts to believers, and using them. Romans chapter 12, looking at verses 6 to verse number 8. And I'll just read those for us to get us started here. How about chapter 12? Okay, here we go. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And we've looked at most of these. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving. Now we're on the gift of ruling. This is the Holy Spirit gift of ruling. That is that not that somebody can't be taught some leadership things, but that God in his grace enables some, along with their understanding, to accomplish things in the church, to lead and to guide. That is the main purpose or idea behind ruling. And we'll just review that very quickly. As the word ruleth means, it's spirit enablement to lead and direct. We started last week leadership in the scriptures, saw that Moses, when he led, or when God called him to lead in Exodus chapter 3, the Bible says he was told to bring forth, or he was to bring forth and brought forth the children of Israel in a sense of leading them. His father-in-law, Jethro, shared some thoughts about how to be a more effective leader, and he followed it, and God blessed that that he would bring others to help or lighten the load, taking some of the decision-making on decisions, as he put it, that are lesser, and that he would deal with the heavier, weightier matters. And those who were to lead had to have a sense of fear for God, be full of truth, hates lust for and worship of people or things. That's in Exodus 18. Then we saw Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 15, he is to reign over the Gentiles. And that idea of ruling or reigning is to be first. He is being first, and he is first to us tonight as a Savior for you and I. Now we want to continue on and just kind of get past the introduction here, and hopefully maybe at least read Colossians 3 when we get there. But let's go ahead and look at Hebrews 13. Let's go there first. Hebrews 13. Again, finishing the idea of leadership in Scripture. And God speaks of leadership in his house, in the church. And one specific leader he talks about quite a bit in the New Testament, or shares some thoughts on, and here in Hebrews, is the pastor position, or pastoral work, as we put it there. Take a look at verse number 7. I'm Hebrews 13 and verse 7. And there's a few verses we'll look at here in this chapter. Speaking to the church here in Hebrews 13, and some of the various things that we need to do with one another. Here he says in verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Then verse number 24, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. This is referring the rule, meaning this, to guide and to lead. That's the blank, to guide and to lead. Sometimes in our culture, we hear, oh man, someone rule, master, etc. Well, that means somehow they are, they have you under duress. They have some kind of force over you in order to make you do something. But that is not God's plan. His plan is that they lead, they guide. As the Lord leads them, then we are to follow them too. As he says in verse 7, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Again, we're looking at leadership in Scripture. And then, of course, the gift of the Spirit in Romans 12 and verse 8, where the Bible says, let him that ruleth, ruleth with diligence. Let him that ruleth with diligence. The word ruleth there simply means to stand before and direct. Stand before and direct. That is the blank. Before I go any further, I just realized I need to pray. I need to pray. So would you bow with me and we'll ask God to help the rest of our time. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you for those that you have placed in our life, both in the past and even some in the future, Lord, but certainly in the present, to help lead us, to help guide us, Lord, to help us do what you would have us to do. Not to say that we can't hear from you, but this is part of hearing from you, Lord. So we ask, help us to see what you see and what you want us to see as we serve you at our church together. We pray Jesus would be glorified in everything that's said and done, even tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So that's kind of an introduction of leadership in Scripture. Again, you could add so many other things. But one thing that God wants us to consider as far as leadership goes, let me ask you this. Where does leadership start in a person's life? Where is the recognition in the home? In the home. Thank you very much. And that is the blank, by the way. That's the blank there on number two. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We learn what we learn, we start at home. It starts at home. And we want to talk about that for a little bit. God's leadership in the home. Starting in verse number 18 is where we want to go. And reading from verses 18 to the end of the chapter, 18 to verse 25, talks about the home here in Colossians. So would you read responsively with me? I'll read verse 18. and you folks, verse 19, verse 25. That's where we're going to stop. Here's what the Bible says, Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go and take a look at this a little closer. Verse 18, we'll start there with each member of the family in the home. What does the Bible tell us to do? Starts with wives. Wife, voluntarily, this is what the home looks like, I should say, the picture that God wants and designed for us. Wife is to voluntarily, so when I say wife and husband, we're just referring to those people in position in the home. Wife voluntarily submits to own husband. I should have said her own husband. Wife voluntarily submits to her own husbands. Notice what it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. God desires, ladies, for you to be supportive and submissive to your husband. Why does he want that? Because the one in the home, there's got to be one leader in the home. That doesn't mean nobody else has an opportunity to lead. In fact, the leader, I should say, the leader of the home that God sets aside needs to figure out when that time is, because sometimes he needs help. And of course, the father, the husband, God's set aside to lead the home. Here he starts out with wives to submit to their own husband, to support, submit, surrender. The word submit simply means to put yourself under the rank of. So instead of being the general, and he's the captain, I don't know a lot about rank, but I know this, general outweighs the captain. No, God says no. That's a voluntary position, by the way. It does not say the husband should force his wife to do it. That's why it's got to be volunteer. And it's easy, right, ladies? I've talked to my wife enough knowing, no, it's not easy. It's not easy. But it is fulfilling when everybody is doing their part. properly, and the wife voluntarily submits. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husband loves his own wife, And the Bible tells us that we are not to love somebody else's wife, men. Not somebody else's, our own. And devoted to her. That love includes sacrifice. It includes supporting her up and holding an honor as well in the family and before others. And God can use us in a mighty way if we follow his plan in the home. And by the way, ladies, if your husband doesn't lead, what do? You don't take the leadership. You can inform him, hey, listen, we got to do something, honey. If we sit in this car with a flat tire for the rest of the night, we're going to have a tough time. No, you can encourage him to some decisions he can make, but the truth is you should not make the decision he's called to do. And men, you should love your wives. And as he says, not be bitter, not be frustrated, or hold things against each other. Anyway, that's a whole another study anyway. But just scratching the surface, these are some thoughts from Scripture that'll help us as we go along in the study. And then he says in verse number 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, according to this verse in the Bible, how many of the parents' instructions can the children disobey? Zero. Yeah. Children, obey all, that is the blank, all instruction from their own parents. Now, if you're in a home that does not have godly parents, and they start telling their kids to do things that are ungodly, let me ask you this. Does God allow for the kids to disobey a parent who tells them to do something evil or ungodly? Now it says all things here. Now it's talking about a Christian family. It's talking about a Christian family. And I'll give you an example, a very easy example. And Mike and I talked about this actually not long ago. My dad smoked cigarettes when I was a kid. And he never told me to do this, but if he had, I had already decided I'm not going to do it. He never told me, go get those for me, or go grab those off the table or whatever. And in one way, I appreciate that, because he never wanted, at least from my perspective, never wanted me to worry about that. But if he had, I thought, I'm not doing that, you know, cancer sticks and stuff. What would have, if I had disobeyed my dad in that regard, what do you think would have helped the situation and helped me in regards to my relationship with him? Would I have disobeyed out of hatred for him? And what would he have done in response? I think he would have seen it and said, all right, son. And because he loved me, he would not have punished that. What I'm saying is, there are families, not every family, amen? Sometimes we get this idea, man, the next door neighbors, they're doing this and that. Well, we need to consider where God's at. And by the way, you can remove the children, but you can't change the heart by removing them. That's right. You still have to train them with what is right and what is wrong. God does allow for opportunities to help in those situations. And I believe that's part of what adoption and foster care and things God can use. Unfortunately, it's a broken system today. Most of the families are not trying necessarily to follow God's plan. But anyway, again, another study. Obey. But if your parents are believers, are striving to honor the Lord here, God says, obey your parents in all things. By the way, I have a parent who's still alive. She's 80 years old. If she told me to do something, does this Bible verse mean I should do what she says? Folks, what's the answer? The common sense answer is no. I'm no longer under her authority. I want to honor her, but I'm no longer under her authority, nor her roof. And the same with our children in that regard. Children obey, but if you're at home, let me tell you something. You don't have a leg to stand on. Now, here's the next verse. This is an interesting one. Verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And that should be verse 21, not 20. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Discouraged. Fathers lead their children without discouraging them. Fathers are to lead the children without discouraging. Here's what discouraged means. It means to dishearten, to deprive of courage or confidence. And how does that display itself? If you're in Colossians chapter 3, something interesting. Again, this is about the Christian behavior, this whole chapter. Take a look at verse number 8. Take a look at verse number 8. We're looking back in the chapter here. Apostle Paul writes to the church and says, you're born again, you're saved, you're redeemed, praise God. And all these things are no longer a part of your life. Remember, as an unsaved person in that time of the of history, many folks, at least history tells us, that they used all kinds of vile things to get through life, to earn money and so forth. And he says, you're no longer part of the things of the earth. There in verse number 2, you're dead, your life is hid with Christ. He's our life. He'll appear. He shall also appear with him in glory. And he talks about putting away the former life, the life that included fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, etc. And we read this actually a couple weeks ago, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, take a look at verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, so now, what's the now? Now that I'm a believer in Christ. You also put off all these. And notice the very first thing. What's the first word? Go back to the verse number 21. What's the thing God warns us about? Dads. That we can pass down that spirit, I should say that behavior to children if we are discouraging in our upbringing, anger. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, are sometimes, is it good to be angry? If it's sin, it's good to be angry. Is it good to act out with violence through that anger? Nothing in Scripture that says we should do that. In fact, we're not supposed to stop loving even if we're angry. And though the Bible says, be ye angry and what? Sin not. Do we do that? What's the temptation when you're angry? Boy, I can't wait to serve the Lord now that I'm really upset. No, the temptation is to do wrong, is to say something that shouldn't be said, is to think something shouldn't be on our minds. So anyway, some thoughts. So what does that discouraging upbringing look like? Well, the blank there, anger, favoritism. Can you think of anybody in the Bible who had favorites in the family and it caused problems down the road? Can you think of anybody in the Old Testament? Well, his father, Jacob, but Joseph, yes. Joseph was the favorite, and it discouraged the others. They became very upset at him, and eventually they wanted to kill him. Some of them did, but they ended up selling him and so forth. You know the rest of the story. Intimidation. You know, praise the Lord for little babies, and they must have tender care. They must if they're going to grow.
Yes.
But there's something about adults that we figure out pretty fast, we're bigger than them. We're bigger than them. They're not going to stop me. I'm going to show them. And that's where intimidation becomes an option. Discouragement becomes the result. We're not to intimidate. We're to discipline. We're to correct, but not intimidate. Not intimidate. And then invalidation. Invalidation. Can I ask you, have you thought about why this evil, let me put it that way, because that is what it is, a philosophy that men can be women and women can be men, or something in between. Have you considered how does it come about in a child's life? Someone introduced them to it. Why do children obey their parents? Because their parents taught them to. Why are they thinking some of these? Because someone introduced them to it. I'm not saying the father did, but one thing that he's responsible to do is to show them that being a young man, being a young woman, is the greatest creation that God's made in them. That is their fulfillment, and that is their blessing. And we can get into all kinds of things in the last, 40 years, 50 years or so. That tell us that trend has gone the wrong way. That trend has gone the wrong way. Masculinity and femininity, is that right? Femininity, are biblical. They're biblical and need to be shared with our kids. Well, we might as well just finish here. All members are submit to and heartily serve, that's the blank, heartily, all members submit to and heartily serve, and fear the Lord. I'm looking at verse number 24, I think it is. 24 and 25, take a look. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive of the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. 1 Corinthians 11:1 just simply says, be followers of me as I am of Christ. That's what Paul tells the church in Corinth. All right, let's go find a prayer partner. Pray for homes, pray for families. They're still out there, amen? They're still good young people trying to raise families for God, and pray for them, and pray for us as we strive to help them.